Drive with Julian Clover.
Getting you home.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
I was doing some research last night, and I was surprised actually as to how long George Gently had been on our screens. 10 years. The time sort of simply flies by. And I'm wondering what it was you think about him that kept us watching.
I wish I knew. I mean, it's just one of those impossible questions to answer from inside, if you see what I mean. I mean, I suppose some people might say, oh, it's because I'm so incredibly fascinating. And you know, other people might say, it's because it's the best thing on TV. The answer to that, all of that stuff, is you just absolutely don't know. You're just rolling the dice and do your best, and you just hope. I wish I knew. I mean, clearly people like crime dramas because overwhelmingly that's what's on offer. You will find, especially with Netflix and Amazon, people are starting to get more and more imaginative, and so people are looking for different genres. But for many, many years, it was all that you could watch.
And it has to be said on Netflix and Amazon and all the rest of them, of course, including UK TV Play, dramas online service. You know, there are the stacks of various police dramas. I have to say, you know, you've been in a few good ones over the years. What struck me when I first saw George Gently was the fact it went back to a time that I sort of just about remembered from my pushchair, you know. But it was now historical, you know. Obviously, one remembers this time growing up, but it's like, hang on, I remember when these cars were on the streets, but now they're all on the streets, and if you look outside, they no longer are. I guess that sort of plays into it a little bit as well. And it was interesting, really, to see a crime drama, if you like, go back, yet still be contemporary.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, everybody likes to look back. Everybody talks in a nostalgic way. When I was a kid, I listened to my parents and my grandparents and their friends talking about the old days, and everybody does it. I suppose you could say, if you wanted to get really philosophical about it, is that people find it harder and harder to be in the present moment because they find the present moment difficult to deal with. I don't know, but one of the more benign offshoots of that is that people like to watch nostalgic television. And when you ask me about why was Gently so successful, I think one of the reasons is that we had, apart from the good writing, we had one of the best designers that I've ever come across in my 50-year career. It's a man called Maurice Kane, and I've worked with him several times. And he creates a complete and perfect world for you to work in. And so it was an absolute delight for me. You know, if I walked into a shop or a filling station, everything around me was accurate to the time and the age. And I would say, oh, my God, I'd forgotten about that. I'd forgotten this, I'd forgotten the other. I was also able to be a kind of unofficial advisor to the history of the program because I was there, and a lot of people working on it, you know, were looking at old magazines and newsreels.
And that's the thing about television, you know, and you know, some of the cast, your contemporaries, but others, I guess, Lee Ingleby, a younger actor, but I have to be put back in time, if you like. Gently was a very different character from Judge John Deed, which you played almost immediately before. I don't think there was much gap between the two. And I wonder if as an actor, it's better for you, prefer to have something which is such a contrast, rather than, I don't know, the sort of 1950s film star thing when Rock Hudson would turn up and be Rock Hudson and Errol Flynn might turn up and be Errol Flynn, and it's always the same.
That confuses people as well, of course. I mean, you're absolutely right. It is very good to have contrast. But in my early days, I was a disciple, and remain that way, of naturalism. And making things look as natural and realistic as possible, rather than demonstrating the character. You want to be the character. And people used to say, ah, but it's easy, isn't it, because you just have to be yourself. And I found that exasperating, because it was, I'd been doing the job for at least 10 years before I had enough experience to just be myself. Because one of the hardest things, if not the hardest thing, is to get out of the way and just relax and be natural.
And are you able to put anything of yourself into the character? I know, for example, there were George Gently books beforehand, but which will obviously set certain guidelines, but are you then allowed to, I don't know, give him a nervous tick or whatever you choose to do in order to make that character to stand out?
I think you have to, because, you know, I think it's possible. I mean, funnily enough, we were talking about this in the studio earlier, about murderers and people who commit crimes. And all of that is inside of everybody. We're all human beings. And so everything that it's possible to do is all there inside us. But we have this great thing called discrimination, where we decide whether or not we don't do these things. So I think if you have a really good script that describes the feelings and the emotions of your character, then you can just tap on this great pool of human experience and be whoever you want to be, whether it's somebody good or whether it's somebody evil. It's all there inside us.
We mentioned the world that your designer had created for you around George Gently. I guess over your 50 years or so in TV, production techniques must have changed tremendously. I wonder how that affects the acting craft. Does it change it, or is it just you're giving a performance to more angles almost?
I think the biggest change is in sound technology, in microphone technology, because in the earlier days, we actors used to get frustrated because sound technicians would ask us to speak up or speak more clearly. And often you would say, well, the guy next to me can hear me perfectly, and you say you can't hear me, and you've got a microphone.
Mm.
What's changed nowadays is that we have incredibly sensitive microphones, and they're always backed up by a radio mic as well. And what I do find is that actors tend to mumble. They speak much more quietly.
I was trying to remember, there was the BBC drama, wasn't there, a couple of years ago, where people were complaining that the incidental music was so loud that they couldn't hear the actors speak. It's sort of, I guess that kind of happens in the mix, really, doesn't it, rather than the performance.
Yeah, this I don't understand, because you're absolutely right, and it's been a complaint of mine for years. And very often, in fact, usually now, I will put on the subtitles when I'm watching something. And I've checked this out with people whose hearing is absolutely perfect, but they will put on the subtitles because it's not so much the volume, but the clarity. And I do think there is a kind of microphone laziness which has built up, where people will speak in the studio. It's just a fashion, you know, where people will mumble at each other when they wouldn't do that in real life.
Mm. Final question to you, Martin. You were in Cambridge at the Arts Theatre, I think only late last year, with The Best Man. Have to ask if there's any other theatre projects coming up that might bring you back this way at some point soon.
Not that I know of, no. I tend to try, in as much as one can, to alternate between film and television work and stage work. And so that means that usually there's a couple of years or so between stage jobs. So I've got nothing planned at the moment. But Cambridge is always top of my list. It's one of the nicest tour dates that you can do.
That's good to hear. Well, look forward anyway to catching you on UK TV's Drama Channel in the next few days with George Gently. We can certainly see you there. And on other things, I'm sure, as well. Martin Shaw, thanks very much for speaking to us.
You're welcome. Thank you.